did the conviction himself. The father of the prodigal son did his part in the beginning. And this, then the next most important part is when the prodigal son comes back, he showed love. He doesn't say, first, let's talk about what you did. That's the good father. That's love. The lost sheep, where the shepherd goes after that person, that's usually where somebody made a mistake out of his immaturity or because the person was gullible, didn't know what he was doing. In such a case, we go after that person to show love and acceptance and all those things. So there is a place we draw a line in the sand. We usually won't do that in a small group, but more individually with that person. Okay, but let's have a break. Richard?
Thanks, Jan. Cor, you said we must end with hope, so I want to communicate the hope that lies before us. It's out there. Go and get it. 10 minutes. See you in 10 minutes. Great. I hope your tea break was fruitful. Okay. We're going to move straight into the next session because we are a bit pushed for time. So I think we all workshop some of these questions in the first half of the year. I think there are a couple of things we need to, as small group leaders, perhaps get a bit of training on, perhaps get an expert in on depression that can maybe just come help us, and maybe some of the other issues that Jan Cor has raised. But let's move on to our second session with Ross, and David, you can play that. Thanks.
Help people to grow intentionally. Yes, this is under the grow heading. Under the grow, the verse that if you want to write it down, 1 Peter 3 verse 18, growing the knowledge and grace of Christ. Just something he just quickly mentioned there, and I tried to share it also before the break. I'm a firm believer that God is not confused when he brings certain people on your road. A lot of times it's for you to learn something. So even with the compassion part, so you've mentioned here before the break also, I tried to communicate that well. But see it as for you as the leader, also as an opportunity to learn something more about that person's world. Well, how is it to lose a job? How would I feel if I would lose my job? Or, you know, how would I feel if I feel powerless in, let's say, depression? But I'm in a church that believes a lot in faith. In Shofar, it's one of our things. We believe in faith. We can pray anything, right? You know, but how does it feel if I have to continually, you know, put yourself in that person's shoes? And I think it's in that process, a lot of times we kind of learn more about God that he wants to, you know, teach us. Because we used to our own gifting, our own thinking, but it's much more. Okay, so for the next few minutes, let's talk about how can we help someone grow. And potentially, and yes, how can I stir someone in love and in good works? Brett, you, John, we will prat. Saying? What do you share? Definitely, definitely. If you yourself show vulnerability, I'm sure some of the groups is going to... Another way, how do you build trust? Okay, yes, definitely also. How do you create an environment of trust? How do you, just think for yourself, how did you trust someone just individually? Spend time with him? Through a relationship, but there's a key there. I will give you the answer. We don't have a lab. But I like people to come to the answers themselves. If you celebrate that person, before you want that person to celebrate me and my group. So if I know Richard is passionate about worship because he shared it last week, next week I ask Richard, you know, about something about worship. I'm showing him that he's gifting his ambitions, his dreams, is more important than my own conversation. Then usually people at some stage start to trust you because they realize you've got his best will it's important for you, yeah, at heart. But if I ignore it, people won't trust you. People realize you here on a Wednesday because you're the facilitator and you're going to do your job. You know, so you can even, and I want to say this with it can be controversial, but you can be love of the word and prayer and intercessor and everything and be amazing and facilitator, but if you can't get that part right, you're missing the whole thing. Because it doesn't help, you've got the word to give, but the person doesn't trust. Then the person's not going to receive that word. So sometimes we have the wisdom, the knowledge to help someone, but we've not earned the right to help someone. So for that, we need that environment of trust. Again, the Bible is so clear on this. Jesus esteemed other higher than himself, even if you read that part. And then God says, I gave you everything. So there's a place of earning that place. God actually gave it to us. Okay, when you show humility, people will at some stage also trust you, and then you can actually speak into their lives. I've shared it with previous trainings also. You know, 156 times someone came to Jesus with a question. 147 of those times, Jesus responded with a question because he wasn't interested in giving the answer. We most of the times more interested in giving the answer. Now, Jesus is much more wanted to engage the person and win the heart, because if you win the heart, you can actually say something very straightforward, you know. Then you can say to someone, no, you're just lazy. But before you've not earned someone's trust, you can't just tell someone, no, you're just lazy. Then you're going to hurt. Then it's abusive. And you use your platform as abusive platform, if you understand what I'm saying. But that was just for free. So the question I always ask, you want to know in your small group, what is the dreams and ambitions in those people's lives? What do they really, what tick make them tick? What do they, if they could choose their own job now, what would it be? Where do they want to be in 20 years' time? What is the thing God is tugging on their hearts? That's the thing that you want to know, and then respond on it. Not just to know it, but to show interest in those areas. Okay, in other group, on the questions that we workshopped, how can we help people intentionally want to grow? I'm standing here. When's the
Okay. So the one thing that I spoke of was a quote. Basically, it says that exposure cultivates authority. So that's on what he said. On, you know, ask somebody to tag along with. David Basil also said, you know, Lord, you pray for him. So, especially with young people and new Christians that don't always know how to go love somebody. If you say, you know, okay, cool guys, we, you know, go prophesy. You know, Bible says we must go and prophesy. It encourages the whole church. What is prophecy? How do you do it? If they don't know how to do it yet, then they kind of sit back and say, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. So, you know, expose them to it. Take them to, you know, a sermon where that's, you know, a normal thing, YouTube videos, whatever. Because the moment you get exposure to something, you go like, okay, well, I can also do that. And encourage that as well, you know, enforce it and say, but, you know, you've got the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit in this guy on YouTube video. That's the same Holy Spirit in you, you know, go for it, try it. And then in that safe space, practice your giftings as well so that you can go out and go for giftings. What else do we say? Irritate. be that account. He mentioned that. To stir and to kind of just irritate to say, listen, but, you know, hey, last week we spoke about this, you know, how's it going? Did you mention that? You know, why did you go do this? To always, you know, be accountability partners to one another in that sense. David, you said... Yeah, so basically, what is the one area of growth? So we don't push onto people our own ideas, but ask God, you know, okay, what is the one area of growth? Like you mentioned, like, what is your expectation? You know, one expectation per person. Instead of, you know, going all out, all guns blazing, you know, well, he struggles with this, he struggles with this, he struggles with this, so the whole group is going to work on this, this, this. You know, just keep it real in that sense.
Okay. I need to remember what we said now first. Okay, but the first thing for me to stir growth is to for everyone to Heinz was saying, mention an area where you want to grow that year, and where we, on a weekly basis, just take a few minutes out of small group and go around the group, and everyone just gives like a feedback for the accountability to either be honestly be able to say, I had a good week, I was in this situation, I managed to do this, or it was really bad, I lost my temper with this, this, this. Just to keep that accountability, but also for the facilitators to be open and honest themselves, not just sit on one side and point over, okay, you, what did you do? But also from that side to be open and honest and say, I also have issues. Because a lot of times people come to small group with masks on or, they've got just the right answers, what you want to say and everything. But to just be totally honest, and everyone is the same. Everyone's got issues to deal with. And then to encourage as well, like Derek was saying, he's got someone in his small group who stopped working and she's now a full-time mom. And instead of focusing on that she's unemployed, he mentioned to her, just focus on you are actually a full-time mom and you're looking after your kids. It just changes your perspective so that to encourage that person and to build them up. So, yeah, that's to in love and to do good work, sure.
I think the main thing was to give up control as a small group leader.
To stir people for love and to grow, you must take their attention to what is love. And first of all, to take them out of the comfort zone, you must show them where you must love. So I think outreach is the most important thing to show people what it is to love. Because you will be in situations where you don't want to go in or you don't want to mix with the person because it's not on the same level that you are. So in order your cell group to go, you can take them out and show them, especially on farms where the situation is very different and difficult. And so that they can know what it is to love people that is not on the same ground as you and to start growing and showing, because that is what Jesus do. Jesus didn't come for the person that needs a don't need a doctor. He comes for those who don't need a doctor, to seek and to show. And that is what we must do. We must seek and show what is love.
So Just one other thing that I realize is that some of our small group members are doing good works and they are walking in love, and people don't always realize it because they are maybe just very humble people, maybe even don't always have the greatest self-image, but they actually are doing good works. And sometimes we just need to recognize that and encourage them and say, what you're doing is good, you know, to sort of build their self-respect and just say, carry on. This is good. Just carry on, you know, because, yeah, particularly people who are not perceived to be something in the church or you know, just, and who may or may not have a bit of low self-esteem, just to encourage them in that way.
Very, very powerful. Very powerful. I think another way of, also to get people to grow intentionally, we're going to have Ross is still going to speak about this, but something I've seen work in my small group well is, in our small group we've got worship, this is actually Rich's area, and from that place of worship, you will find that people in worship is actually vulnerable towards God. And to get the small group to actually, you know, I want to say with the altar call part, the business part of worship, to actually allow the small group members to like we would facilitate words and stuff in front of church, but to do it in your small group. And to say, listen, if there's something that God is pressing on your heart, just pray it. And I would on purpose not pray then as the leader of the small group. Even if it's awkward silence, I don't mind. But to get them in the culture that they can share, when they share a lot of times, probably 99% of the time, God is already giving them the topic of the small group through worship. Now they God talks to us about control, love, whatever. And then, exactly some of you said, then you yourself, after that, show the vulnerability, saying, I'm so glad God is saying this to us as a small group. Because, you know, I myself, I must honestly tell you, I'm really not good at this. Let's trust God on this area, because my experience, and then to show the vulnerability, the chances good people will also then show vulnerability. But it comes of that out of that place of worship and intercession. So don't always think about how we can, I want to say, artificially create that platform. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that. Because even if the deepta from that place of worship, intercession, you can go into that also with the members. And that again show, yeah, so much easier when the Holy Spirit come and break down the walls than when you have to break it down with some kind of, you know, facilitation skill. You know, so even in my own small group, I'm actually quite skilled in facilitation skill. But I actually like it much more when the Holy Spirit does it. So in my own small group, I actually never tell the small group what the small group is going to be about. I actually trust the Holy Spirit that the topic is going to come out or through eating beforehand or a worship or intercession. And I will do even small talk till someone gives an open door and to run into that. So, yeah, just remember, allow the people in your small group to bring the words in that at that time, even if it's something simple, you know. If nobody's bringing something, sometimes you can, in a time of worship, you can see someone is having a time with God. Ask them. Sorry, I could see, you know, what happened in your heart in worship time. Sometimes in our small groups, someone have to run after a child. But, yeah, cool. We can start with the next session. Ross is actually going to talk about. Are you guys finding this stuff helpful? Yes. I'm going to look at Richard, but I think he can send you the notes. Yes, I will quickly read it. I will quickly read it to you. I think I've got it here with me. Deliberate. No. No, I actually don't have a summary here with me now. Let me see if I have it. Yeah. But anyway, for all things, I did send the notes to Richard. He can send it to you. I just need to put in a disclaimer. You know, your neighbors here working in that building, we like to do, we review, spell check, and make things beautiful. That's our job. This knows we've not done it yet. So if he's saying it and there's a spelling mistake or a grammar mistake or a double spacing or the font is not everywhere exactly the same, please don't keep it against us or judge us. But Richard can send you those notes, so it's still in a working process. I think that's why I also didn't, it's not nice lines and everything in it yet. Yeah. But there will be the rest of the summer. I think what was on there was also just to use your own program, the Encounters. It was, I think, on the PowerPoint there. Encouragement. And I think some of the stuff we already shared, the honesty part was also on it. Yes, yes. Mm. Good. The next one I'm going to also again, we're going to talk about the question before we actually watch the video. And that is just how are we going to be a witness to our non-members? How can we show good works and love to the community? So we know our own small group is amazing, and there's a lot of good works in that. But how would the community know? And how would non-members know of our good works? Invite them is will definitely help. I want to also just quickly show something out to you in the next session. I don't know if we can actually have time to watch the next session. But even for me, coming from outside, I can quickly pick up a certain strong giftings here. And usually within your own strong gifting, there's sometimes a tendency if like, I can't understand that people don't understand. Okay? So I know, let's say if you're strong on worship, strong words, strong intercession, strong missions, strong evangelism, strong pastoral, you're always like, how can people not understand? I mean, it's so clear. I mean, you can't give it more clearer than this verse. Or how can you not have a heart for the lost? I mean, just how can you? You know, or how can't you not have, how can you walk past a beggar and not engage him? What we as facilitators try to do, and especially if you're strong in the gifting, always think, how can I build a bridge to that place? So to start small and to realize that people don't have your heart and your way of thinking. So a lot of the things that even the session after this, which I think Richard's probably going to just send to you, it's to help building that. So if something like, let's say in my small group, I've got this one lady. It's actually such an amazing person. And I think it was last year's Christmas or some of these special holidays, she invited a few church people and nobody came to her house. And then they as a family decided, well, if nobody's going to come to her house, we're going to make hot dogs and go give it to the children in the street. Now, something like that for me is like, how do you even think at? I mean, I would not just not go there. But, you know, if I, when I heard it, it's like you also shared, if you hear someone else doing something good, it encourages you. It's like, this is actually so simple. I could do that. You know? And then to invite or tell her, when you do it again or get such a good idea, please invite the rest of us. You know, because I'm really not even thinking about stuff like that. And yes, by taking my own children and then going doing something like that, do you know what's going to happen? I'm actually going to get a heart for the people on the street. But to tell me you must have a heart for people on the street is not going to do anything to me. And probably also not to other people. So always think on how you as a small group facilitator can help people get to that place. You know, so even as a small group, that's what he says also, it's to build a safe bridge also there. Don't just say we're going to do an outreach next week. Do first 2 weeks of training before we go so that we can build that bridge to bring the people to that place. Okay, but yes, how can we, let's get back to our workshop question, how can we show our love, witness to non-members? And how can we show our good works and love to the community? We can allow at least 10 minutes for this. First of all, how easy was it to answer this one? I know you had words to say. But how confident were you in your... It's one of those things that... if you already felt convicted just with the question. See, you don't always need to have a message. You can just ask a question. It brings enough conviction. Who of you had some good ideas around this one?
Yeah, this will be for the last time. First of all, what we as Christians do, we are highly spiritual when we meet non-members. And that is, I think that is the wrong approach to that person. What we actually must do is, those people, they already condemn themselves. They are not good to be a Christian. They are not good to be where we are. So first of all, to show love, you must come into a conversation with that person. To come to his or her level. And to hear what is on him or his mind. And then you can start, share your testimony to that person. So that he or she can relate to you and how you overcome the problem that you had in your life. And that is the main thing, to be yourself. And not to be someone that you not are. That is our vision of how to share with non-members in the community. And the second question, how will the community know about our good works? If you can slot into one or another project and give your help to that community or that project, because we can't go from home to home and to help the community. But you can share and you can help other projects to be good projects.
The first thing that we felt was to build a relationship with the people that are not Christians, because a lot of times people have a perspective of a Christian being holy or can't do this or can't do that, and they don't want to become a Christian because it's a boring life. So if you can build relationship with non-Christians, but be careful not to be influenced by them. So to build a relationship to an extent where you are influencing them without them realizing it, but as soon as they start to influence you, to just back off a little bit. I used the example of maybe going for a glass of wine with some people that aren't Christians, where you can show them it's okay to have fun or have a glass of wine, but you set your limits that you only have one or two glasses, where you won't spend the whole night partying and everything. And then also to integrity, like Derek said, just to always have integrity, whatever you do with your finances and your work situation, wherever, to always just keep that integrity, and then just to shine your light wherever you go. And then a thing for me also is just to draw that line of encouraging people and shining your light, but be wary of not Bible bashing or telling people, have you prayed about this? Have you done this? You know, Jesus doesn't like it when you do that, because that also pushes people away. So just to, we kind of draw people like a magnet, like a bug goes to the light. If you just share your light and you're just normal and you don't force anything on anyone.
Sorry, just one thing, we didn't discuss it, but what strikes me is when you're an unbeliever, sometimes we have to be careful as Christians of the language we use, because we can come with a lot of religious Christian ease, and that can be quite off-putting if you're very unsaved. I found it a bit off-putting when I was unsaved.
And another day we can talk about what is very unsaved and just unsaved. Jolene, Brett, John, someone? Very good.
We spoke about the extremes. One of the things that came out, we can either have this Bible-punching way of doing things, and most probably which would push people away. And then at the same time, you can engage in a community in such a way that you don't make any difference or any impact at all. And what came out was that you must intentionally be part of what's happening in the community and go with a prepared heart to make yourself available to the Lord in those areas. And what also came out was, on an individual way in the community, your life and community, is to really engage with people on a very personal way, to really engage. And out of that, relationship can grow, and whatever the Lord has in mind, I mean, you can end up really leading somebody to the Lord. You can pray for somebody and be a witness in the community. I think another powerful thing for me that came out was literally the example you use of a mission station in Lesotho, how they were so involved in the community, training the people and supporting them in practical ways, that it opens people's hearts in such a way that eventually you could go and visit them in the name of Jesus, and they have an open heart already, because you have served the community in such a way that prepared their hearts to hear the gospel.
Good. So I think there's four areas that we've learned today about is the care. I think most of the times we're not too bad with that, the caring. And there's the grow, which I think we can still grow in. And then the shine, and I think when it comes to shine, I think it's a difficult one. We can answer it in a very philosophical way. We sometimes know what not to do. But I think to run on the momentum, like, kan nie jou naam onthou nie, die dokter. Tracy said, you know, because that's one of those things, if we actually just talk about this stuff in a small group, there's someone always with a good idea that the small group can grow, can go on. Because what we don't want here is that you, the leader, shine, but you can't take your small group there. So, you know, even for a future workshop, is to talk how I'm going to get my small group there. And not just let me grow, not let just me shine. And then the fourth one is to build. And I think what would be good, and this is where I'm going to leave it over to Richard again, is for you as a church to say in the year, how are we going to build, how are we going to grow, how are we going to shine, and how are we going to care. But again, like I said, with expectations, don't make it too much. Say 2 times a year, we're going to have, as a small group, choose how to reach the community. But do we also make it, like I would say, age appropriate? So if your small group's faith is to do a small step, well, let's celebrate that small step. And if your small group wants to take a big step, then we do the big step. But let's not, you know, overdo and do nothing. But I think this is a good way. Ross, in the next session, give some very good practical guidelines for even a church, how to do especially the shine and build. You unfortunately don't have time for this, but Richard will communicate it to you guys how to take it further. Yeah, did you guys learn something? Did it help? You know, I'm so excited just even in Somerset West to do more workshop type things, because there's stuff that we need to unwrap. And I'm sure even most of you guys, especially if you're in church for longer than 5 years, we get tired of info. And we know our people in our small groups is stagnating. The chance is good you even stagnated. And I believe God is taking us out of that. And this, again, from just the prayer in the beginning, opening that gate, the shine and build part where we learn, you know, people the skill that you don't just need. It's still important to bring someone to legacy and liberty where there's facilitators and a pastor is doing the facilitation. But, you know, even Shepherd, we've got 7,000 members that's in a job that can do deliverance right there. We must train our members to be able to do those things. And I think I think when God says open those gates, you know, it's for us to get there. And not just always get them to us as the end goal. But the end goal should actually be to go there. So we're probably doing a bit of a culture shift that we need, not just in your church, in Shepherd, that's why I can say it so boldly, because we've got the same challenges where we go. Yeah. Richard, just maybe practical way forward. And very thank you for your time. You were great. And it's wonderful to hear everyone and see everyone. And thank you for the privilege, Richard. Good to see the neighbor church. We just worked there.
Yeah. So now you actually know that we do have a church here. Yeah. It's not just what I tell you each week. Yeah, dankie, Jankor. Thanks for coming and just sharing and imparting to us. Yeah, Jankor's got an amazing gift to do the things that he does in the way that he does. So thanks for that this morning. It's what did it. So just practically going forward, I think the conversation can't stop here. I think Ross has given us some nice practical tools, and it's like you said, you know, the caring we naturally get right, even the growing, but the shine and the build, I think we need another session. So I'll organize that for us in the next 2 or 3 months. And like I said last week, Ross is also coming here on the 17th of Feb to preach, because that's exactly one of our goals and our focus areas is how do we not just become missional, but how do we get our mercy ministries, you know, our compassion ministries in place as well, which is all kind of shining and you know being known in the community. So we or starting a conversation in February. And I think this last session of his will actually fit on nicely as a tail end to where we're going. So, y'all, thank you for your time this morning. I know we've all learned a lot from each other and from Jankor and from Ross. Yeah, so thank you. Oren, sal jy vir ons afsluit in gebed? Jy kan maar Afrikaans bid. Sweet ons is hemelse taal.
Vader, Here, wil net vir die dankie sê, Here, vir hierdie geleentheid, Here, weer tot die troon te kan nader, Here. En ek bring hierdie kerk van U, Here, die liggaam op aarde, Here, waar ons allemaal lede is, Here. Jesus, soos daar reeds gevra is, Here, dat ons voorbereiding moet doen vir die kerk, Here, kom dank ons, ons prijs, Here, ons kom loof U, vir die wonderlijke tyd, vir hierdie goeie God wat U is, Here, U wat altyd deur vir ons, Here, net die liefde vir volk kom wees, Here, as ons so dink aan die wind daar buiten kan, Here, waar die wind vandaan kom, waar die op pad is, Here, weet ons, maar so is die geest ook, Here, so kom sê, Paulus, vir die dankie kom sê, Here, ons wat op voort heb, die paie sal uitgaan, Here, ons vraag dat die hand van beskerming oor ons allemaal sal hoog sal word, Here, en dankie vanmiddag, dat U weer deur U geest, Here, met elke van ons op een manier gesprek het, net soos U dit kan doen, deur die geest, in Jesus naam, bid ons dit met eer en baie, baie dankzegging, Amen.